The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he cast out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if Satan has risen against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brother?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So there's a political side to all this. We separate religion and politics in our world, but they didn't. And their world was all just mixed together. They didn't see the world the way we do. So what's going on here, I've always thought of Jesus being a religious figure who healed people, and why did they want to kill him? But what he's doing is he's acting like he's somebody that he's not. And that's another problem. When we have kids, we say, "I wonder what they're going to grow up to be." Never uttered by a third world person. Never uttered by an ancient person. You already know what you're going to be the second you were born. You had a slot. There was no rising above your slot on occasion. I know, but every one of them people we know. So the problem here is Jesus is running around healing people, and that's the job of the priest. And he's not priest. And he's taking care of people, and that's not his job. His job is to be at home. Jesus does not know who he is. He does not know what he's doing based on their society. And this makes people say, "He's crazy. Are you out of your mind?" Now, to add another dimension to it, when you have large groups of people gather around you, the Roman soldiers took note of it and they crucified you and your family with you. Because it was families, not just individuals. Something else we don't get. Most of us, our kids live all over the globe. And those, you stayed in your village. You didn't leave your village. That's not part of the deal. So when we hear these people saying Jesus is out of his mind, what they mean is literally what we would say to someone who says, I don't know, they get their degree and said, "I just decided that I want to write poetry and sit in the woods for a year." You would say, repeat after me, "Are you out of your mind? I've got bills to pay for a college degree, and you said you could have sat in the woods all you wanted before I forked over the money. Are you out of your mind?" And the Greek word generally is translated as, they were amazed. The crowds were amazed at Jesus. So this is no sense of the word. So Jesus is at this house. Now, he's just chose 12 apostles, which to us is just like, well, there's 12 apostles. That's all right. Why did he choose 12? Say it loud, Bart.
Tribes.
And who's in charge of the tribes? The king. God's the king. His human king's in charge of the tribes. Jesus is saying, I'm the real king. Now do you understand? He's acting like a priest. He's acting like the king. And he's got all these people, so many people he can't even eat. That makes the Romans say, we need to look into this. So this is not a simple story the way I've always read it. Probably up until a few months ago. I'm starting to finally understand stuff. Too bad I'll be retiring in 7 years. I might have been of some use to you. Now the scribes come down because they're in charge. Now what's already happened is the local people have decided Jesus needs to die. The Pharisees and the Herodians. Now you have the people coming from the Sanhedrin. These are the religious leaders. These are the archbishops. These are the secretaries of state. These are the people who are here to find out what's going on. And they come to this grand conclusion that Jesus is casting out demons by the power of demons. So they say he's a demoniac. He's a demoniac. So Jesus makes pretty short order of this by saying, how does that make any sense at all? And remember, folks, we are at our most stupid when we're trying to believe something that's not true. And that's why other people look at us and said, how could you even think that? And we find a way to think it, and they found a way to think that Jesus was demon-possessed. Because they're just convinced he had to be, because the rules say he can't be a Messiah, because he's from Nazareth, for crying out loud. And Jesus' response to say, well, if you're right, then the whole thing is just blown up, which obviously it hasn't, because evil's not losing. So the other option is, maybe I'm stronger than Satan, and I've come to get back from Satan what belonged to Satan, which is people like you and me. We are the kingdom of God. We're the citizens of God's kingdom, and we have rode off with Satan because, after all, look what he offers us. Bigger house, better food, none of that nasty forgiving people stuff, none of that being kind to one another except the people you like. All the rules that Satan has that we love. And Jesus says, I've come to tie him up. Instead of you being bound up, you and I, by Satan, he says we're going to be cut free, and he's going to bind Satan up. Which then leads to the biggest question of my childhood. Every sin's forgivable except one sin. Well, dang, I used to say to myself, I wonder if I've committed it. How many people here were worried about that one? Am I the only one in this church? I got 2, 3, 4. The rest of you said, I'm fine. Everything's fine. See, you're modern people. Us people who are kind of ancient in our view are scared we're going to do something wrong. Modern people say, well, God needs to answer some questions to me. What is the unforgivable sin? The unforgivable sin is saying that God is Satan. Because when God comes to give you forgiveness, you can't get it. Because you reject it as being satanic. So what Jesus is saying is, this is why condemnation is on you. You have failed to recognize your visitation. He will repeat that over and over and over again. Then they say your mother and brother are here. Now this is a huge, I'm really not preaching, I'm just kind of talking, right? This is a big whooping boy for a lot of Protestants. See, they don't even like the Virgin Mary. Jesus didn't even like her. And them Catholics got churches named after her, and they got statues of her. This is horrible. And Jesus says, he says right here, they're not even his mother and brothers. Well, let's remember about ancient hyperbole. Jesus also said, if you've ever sinned with your eyes, pluck them out. I guarantee you, not one of them people's got an eye missing, nor have they cut off a hand. So we get really stupid when we try to twist scripture to say what we want to say. Jesus' point here is bigger than just his biological mother. And if you go to John's gospel, she's at the cross. All right, so let's just calm down. The point is biological relationships, being part of kith and kin in Israel, is not what makes you a kingdom person. What Jesus is saying is obedience to God takes first precedence. He's not talking about his mother and brother. What they're saying is the same thing that we had at the beginning. You know what your place is? Your place is at home with your family. That's your place. And your family's come to get you. You need to be with them. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm breaking the rule. The rule says you're supposed to sit in a little box. I'm the king. I'm outside of the box. What Jesus is saying here is not how should we view the Virgin Mary. I would say with love and respect. And I buy into a lot. I'm not super on that, but I do believe she's got a place. And I'm telling you now, if you trash my mom in front of me, that may not be the best idea. So I'm sure not doing it to Jesus. Right? It's just disrespectful. Plus, his genetic material and her genetic material are the same. So just something to ponder. But what Jesus is really calling us to is obedience. Obedience. It's not about her. It's not about them. It's about you and I responding to obedience. So that's what I have to say about John or Mark chapter 3. What I'll tell you is the story will continue, and it gets continually more treacherous for Jesus until he dies. But Moses is calling us to recognize who he's supposed to be in our life. And I'll put in king means Lord, master, the one we obey, all right?
Well, if you believe it, stand up and profess the faith.